بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, yesterday somebody asked me a question. They said, if, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid this and protect us from this, he said, if some ISIS type of fellow with that kind of thinking goes and does somewhere the kind of thing that this man did in New Zealand, meaning that if this ISIS kind of fellow goes and shoots up a church or shoots up a temple or something, what should be our reaction? How should we respond? So I said to him a couple of things. First and foremost, I've said this many times before, reject every hate speech, reject every divisive talk, no matter where it comes from. Whether it comes from your friend, whether it comes from your relative, whether it comes from a so-called religious leader, any Muslim religious leader who is preaching hate is not a Muslim religious leader. Let me make this very clear. I make this absolutely categorical statement that any Muslim leader who is preaching hate, who is preaching murder, who is preaching indiscriminate killing of people, is first of all not a Muslim. Secondly, he is not a Muslim religious leader, because he is going directly against the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is going directly against the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Maidah said very clearly that if somebody kills one person, somebody kills one person without cause, and there can be no cause for an individual to kill another individual. The only cause in this case is where the state prosecutes somebody for murder and sentences them to a death penalty. That is the only cause. No individual has a reason or has a cause to kill another individual, no matter what, right? Unless the person is attacked personally and he is defending himself, that's a different issue. But if, for example, I see somebody murdering my father in front of me, right? I'm seeing this happening. Somebody has just killed my father. My father just dropped dead. And that murderer is standing there. And I have a gun in my hand. I do not have the right in Islam to shoot that man. I do not have the right. While he was attacking my father, if I was defending my father and he happened to die, that's a different issue. But if the murder happened in front of me, and I'm giving a very, drastic example. If it happens right in front of my eyes, there's no doubt in my mind who did the murder. I'm not doing this out of, some doubt. No, I'm seeing the guy. This fellow murdered. I still do not have, Islam does not give me the right to kill that person, because that is not my job. What must I do? I must arrest this person, citizen's arrest, take him to the police, hand him over. And then it is the job of the state to take action against this person. So first and foremost, reject all hate speech. Number two, if you think that whoever is speaking that hatred, if you think that person is really serious about it, then report that matter. Report that matter to his parents, report that matter to his or her elders, and or report that matter to the police, because at that moment where he is still speaking this stuff, he has not yet committed a crime. So if you report the matter, at the most, he will be counseled and so on and so forth, and he will be put on a watch list so that he cannot commit the crime. So therefore, preventing that crime is your duty. So please understand, there is no loyalty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very, very, very clearly, La ta'amanu alal ismi wal udwan. Allah said, again Surah Al-Maidah, Allah said, do not help one another in evil and in transgression and in sin. So if somebody is talking to you and you feel that, this person is really misguided and he might actually go and commit some crime like this, then immediately report the matter to the police. Let them take care of this. Let them take the guy and counsel him and him or her, and because women are not exempt from this, let them put some sense into his or her head before they actually commit a crime. That is very important. Don't wait for the crime to be committed. Right? Third thing, may Allah protect us all from this. If a crime is committed, something like what happened in New Zealand or whichever kind of thing like this any hate crime, if it is committed, what must we as Muslim, what must we do? Irrespective of who committed the crime, it is our job, if we are in that place or wherever else we are, is to go to help those people who have been affected, who are the victims, help them in whichever way we can. Help them with your money, help them physically, personally, go there, take care, hospitals, whatever, right? We are hearing some beautiful stories from New Zealand, what is happening. Yesterday, the local community, they surrounded two masajid and they said, go and pray, we are protecting you. We are going to stand here and until your prayer is finished, you go inside and you pray and we are protecting you. These are beautiful examples, alhamdulillah. These are examples that may Allah protect us and may there never be an opportunity to actually do this. But if it happens, then this is what we must do. Go and show up there. Show up there and stand in solidarity with the people who have been affected, because this is your job as a Muslim. To aid everything which is good. تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ Allah said, help one another in birr, in goodness, and in taqwa, in spreading pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and do not help one another in evil and in transgression. And this is not a statement meant for Muslims, this is for everybody. This is what we have to help. Anyone who is doing good, alhamdulillah, go and help them. So, help the people in every possible way that you can help. Then also, usually you get this, demand. Something happens, some so-called Muslim does some nonsense like this, then immediately people come to you. What do you think? What is your opinion? There is no need to get intimidated. There is no need to give an opinion. The first thing to ask that person is, why are you asking me for my opinion? Right? Because this your question is a sign that you are a bigot. So, deal with your bigotry in the first place. Why are you asking me for a opinion? Because that man who committed the crime didn't come and ask for my opinion before he committed the crime, right? So who do you think I am, the Pope of the Muslims? I am not responsible, I am not answerable for somebody else's crime, and I refuse to be intimidated and I refuse to be put on the spot to say, you tell us what is your opinion, you and your question can go to hell, I'm sorry, I'm not going to answer. No need to get intimidated by any of that, right? Another beautiful story which has come from New Zealand, again, which is a mark for us, and alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless those people. Two brothers in two masajid. They had no weapons, obviously, why will they have weapons? They went to pray, right? They had no weapons, nothing. They fought the man in both those places, they fought the man without anything. One guy picked up a card swiping machine which was there and he flung it at the fellow. This man with an automatic weapon in his hand with body armor ran away. I mean, shows the amount of bravery that the fellow has. He ran away from a person who was unarmed. In the other place, he killed him. And his brother, alhamdulillah, he died shaheed. A third case we heard was where one of the brothers, he was shot. He fell down, he shot in the leg, wallah alam, where else. He dragged himself, he crawled into the musalla and he went into sujood. And this man killed him. So he died in a state of sajda. Even in that state, when he fell down in the pain, in the agony, he didn't just lie there, he went inside the musalla and he died in sujood. I mean, even if he had not done that, he was shaheed fi sabilillah anyway. But I'm just saying that these are the beautiful stories. So therefore, the fourth thing that we learn is to act with courage. Right? Have a spine. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us Islam and this Islam gives us courage. So therefore, we act with courage. Right? Final thing and very, very important. Going forward, what do we do? Going forward, we do what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faced all of these situations. He faced personal torture. He faced the misappropriation of his wealth. He faced the death of his children. His daughter was killed. He faced the death of his closest, relatives and friends. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was responsible for killing of 70 of the Sahaba, including Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib in the war of Uhud. So how do we treat somebody like that? The way Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam treated Khalid bin Walid. How did he treat him? He forgave him. He forgave him. Right? How did he treat Wahshi, who was the man who actually killed Hamza radiallahu anhu. I mean, it's a long hadith. I don't want to say it here, but very clearly, I mean, just a very short one. Wahshi came to Nabi sallam and he accepted Islam, and he came clandestinely without knowing, because people told him, his friends advised him, they said, go and accept Islam, because otherwise, you know, there is a death warrant against you. Nabi sallam had put out a death warrant against Wahshi because he killed him. So he came and he covered himself up. He came and he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka rasulullah. I accept Islam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who are you? He uncovered his face. He said, I am so and so. Now Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say, no, excuse me, sorry, your Islam is not acceptable, kill him. No. He said, khalas, your Islam is acceptable, you are forgiven. Even though there was a death warrant against him by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, how did you kill my uncle? And the reason he asked him was because Hamza radiallahu anhu was one of the most famous warriors of Arabia. He said, how did you get to kill him? And Wahshi radiallahu anhu described it. He said, I went to Uhud only with one purpose, and that was to kill your uncle. Because my master told me, you killed the uncle of Muhammad, I will release you. He said, Ya Rasulullah, you do not understand what is a slave. For a slave to be released from slavery, there is nothing bigger than that for him. So I only went for that. I went there. I found him at a moment he was, he was engaged with another enemy he was fighting. From behind him, I threw my spear and I killed him. And I'm condensing the story. And that's how he died. He said, then I took away my spear and I came home. I did not do anything else in Uhud. Nabi sallallahu forgave him. And then what did he say? What does he say to Wahshi? Does he say to Wahshi, all right, now this happened. Now get out of my face. I don't want to see you ever again. No. He said, my request to you is, if you come into my majlis, please sit to the side or sit behind me. Because whenever I see your face, I think of my uncle and it rekindles my grief. Even in that situation, he's not blaming Wahshi. He's not saying, get out of my face. No. Even there, he's saying, you're welcome. Please come. You are coming into the majlis of the Nabi. You are a Muslim. I don't stop you. The barakah of the Nabi is for you also. Right? But I am also human. When I see your face, I remember my uncle. He was so dear to me. The grief gets rekindled. So sit behind me or sit to the side where I don't see you. He enters Makkah as a conqueror at the head of 10,000 troops. He can lay waste to Makkah if he wants. The law of the land at that time gave him the power to kill every man and to take every woman and child as a slave and sell them. He could have done that. He could have taken away all their property, all their wealth. He could have done all of that. He did not do any of that. He called the people and he said, today you are free. Go. Not only did he do that, what amazes me, and I have no answer for this. The Sahaba who migrated from Makkah to Medina, they didn't migrate. They were refugees. They were driven out. Right? So this issue of saying they migrated, they did not migrate. It's not like me going and living in New Zealand or you going to Canada or something. No. They didn't want to go. Makkah was their homeland. That was their motherland. They were driven out. Their property was confiscated. Their wealth was taken away. Wealthy people came to Medina. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, people like that, came to Medina with a shirt on their back. Nothing else. Now when they come back to Makkah, 8 years later, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has the power. He does not ask even for compensation. He does not even tell them, you took away this from this person, give it back. Ajib, I mean, imagine the level of forgiveness. I tell you, my sirat is something which I study. I've written 2 books on it. I'm teaching these programs. Alhamdulillah, tonight I go to Qatar. We have the sirah workshop in the Education City Mosque in Qatar tonight on 22nd and 23rd, inshallah. I do not understand, wallahi. But then my heart is not as big as the heart of the Nabi. How did he forgive them? He forgave them. And what was the result of that forgiveness? The result of that forgiveness was that Rasulullah ﷺ did not kill enmity by killing his enemies. He killed enmity itself. There was the cause for enmity was removed. Nobody could fight. How are you going to fight him? The man just forgave you. What are you going to say against him? Even if you had it in your heart to say something against him, what are you going to say against him? He just forgave you. If you said something against him, your own people will tell you, what kind of a man are you? I mean, just now he forgave you, he freed your neck, and now you are speaking against him? At one stroke, he finished all enmity. And people became brothers and sisters to one another. That is the power of forgiveness. So when we people say we must respond with love, believe me, it's not out of cowardice. Alhamdulillah, we are not cowards. We are not afraid of anybody except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This earth belongs to Allah. It does not belong to some political party or some leader who thinks it belongs to him. This earth belongs to the one who created this earth. Whoever thinks the earth belongs to him, tell him to create the earth. Then he can go and rule it. We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not afraid of anyone other than Allah Jalla Jalalu. Forgiveness is a sign of strength. Overcoming anger is a sign of strength. It's not a sign of weakness. It's not weakness, it's not cowardice. It's a sign of strength. And therefore we do that. And we do that, we forgive, because we want the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu. So this is what our response should be. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never to put us in a situation where we need to respond. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from that. But wallahi, if at some point we are in that situation, anybody, then I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to follow the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahman.